Hello, my beautiful workday playday peeps. It's Erin Deal. Welcome back to the show where we ditch that corporate blah, 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 and we bring you the real talk on leading with intention, empathy, and of course, a whole lot of fun. I'm Erin Deal, as I mentioned in today's episode, is diving into an important and urgent conversation. Companies are cutting DEI programs, and it's having serious consequences. Today, we're here to explore the real research-backed ways to foster belonging and inclusion, even in the face of these changes. So I want to start off by making this extremely clear. DEI is a necessary function in an organization, and improv cannot replace it. If you read the title, we are not saying we are here to replace it, but we can help fill in some gaps. Improv training is my expertise, and I know that there are tools backed by data to promote belonging and inclusion given the current landscape. So I want to just take you on a story, okay? We're going to use the story of a woman named Sue. I always just go with Sue or Susan. That's just my hypothetical person. So if you are a Susan listening, which I know one of you peeps are, hi, Sue. So I want you to think about Susan, let's go with Susan, who was a part of a DEI program at their current job. Susan loved this DEI program and was a part of an ERG or an employee resource group. And in that group, it helped Susan not only find her voice, it helped her find a mentor, it helped her rise in leadership, and it helped her drive innovation in her day-to-day, and not only in her role, but in the entire organization, because when one person thrives, so does the entire organization. Now, Susan was in this ERG group for the past 2 to 3 years, really thriving and really finding her voice through this ERG-backed group. Fast forward to 2024, 2025, that same company that Susan has been a part of cut their DEI initiatives. Susan, along with many others, feels disconnected. She feels unseen and she feels unheard. Her productivity and just her overall morale suffer. What happens when companies take away the very programs that create belonging? What if I told you there's another way to build an inclusive culture, one that thrives on play, creativity, and radical empathy? So I'm sure anybody listening to this could relate to Susan or know someone who is feeling similar to Susan. And I want to say, this is workday playdate, y'all. Usually I'm like, let's be silly, let's giggle. But truly, there is a DEI backlash in corporate America right now. And I want to give you the cold, harsh facts. Because companies are cutting DEI and ERG budgets at an alarming rate. I have these stats and facts to prove it. A 2023 report from LinkedIn found a 40% decline in DEI job postings compared to 2022. 40% decline in job postings for DEI roles in 2023 compared to 2022. Now, a 2023 Revelio Lab study revealed that DEI-related roles are being cut at a higher rate than non-DEI roles. And another cold, hard fact for you, a Harvard Business Review study found that companies without DEI initiatives see higher turnover rates and lower employee engagement. When we are talking about large-scale companies, when we are talking about employees with more than 3 or 4 people, DEI matters. It's not just about representation. It is about innovation, it is about retention, and it's about business growth. Now, a study from McKinsey in 2020 also found that companies with diverse leadership teams are 33% more likely to outperform competitors. 33%. And a study from Deloitte in 2021 found that employees in inclusive workplaces are 47% more likely to stay with their company in the long term. So let me just paint the picture for you, my peeps. When we eliminate DEI, we eliminate psychological safety, we eliminate creative problem solving, we eliminate employee loyalty. It also eliminates opportunities for mentorship, for leadership development, and a diverse hiring pipeline. So how can we fix this problem? I'm going to be honest, I don't have all the answers with you today. I really wish I did. I wish I could just ask the universe to speak through me and give you every answer. But I can tell you the answer that I know to be tried and true from my own experience. After 10 plus years of walking into rooms where I did not know a single person on that team, and for 2 hours guiding them through an improv-infused workshop, watching their faces light up as they interacted with each other through laughter and play, watching teams of people from all walks of life come together, walking through life as an intern, a CEO, it didn't matter what rank you were in the organization, where you came from, in those 2 hours, you were fueled by laughter, levity, and positivity, and everyone in that room felt like they were holding hands. Improv fosters this feeling of belonging and empathy. And I got to tell you why it works. It's not just about making people laugh. A lot of people hear improv and they're like, freeze, and they don't think that they're funny or they don't know what to say next. The real comedy comes in the truth in the comedy. The real comedy comes in the listening to what the last thing is said and adding to the response. So improv, again, is not about just making people laugh. A really good improviser is a great listener. A really good improviser can pivot and adapt on a dime. And a really good improviser knows that it is not about just them on the stage. A really great improviser knows that they have everyone on that stage's back, and everyone on their stage has their back as well. There is this feeling of radical empathy in improv. It is embedded. You cannot get on stage and ask the audience for a single suggestion and then come up with an entire scene with your scene partners for 30 minutes based on one word without empathy for the people you are playing with. These core principles of improv, yes, and active listening and collaboration, are the foundation of an inclusive, psychologically safe workplace. And y'all know I got some stats and research to back that up. So let me tell you this. From the Journal of Business Research in 2022, it found that companies that implement play-based learning, including improv, see higher levels of team collaboration and engagement. Boom, Journal of Business. Thank you. Okay, how about this one? The Stanford Business Review in 2021 saw that workplaces that incorporated humor and play experienced 23% higher employee retention and 32% greater innovation. 23% higher employee retention and 32% greater innovation. Boom! Stanford Business Review. Okay, now Google's Project Aristotle, Google, found that the number one factor in high-performing teams is psychological safety, which is something that improv naturally creates. Oh, thank you, studies, for backing me up. They have my back. But listen, I'm living, walking human proof that improv works and it creates this feeling of inclusivity no matter what. So if you're listening to this for the first time, my friends, Workday Playdate is brought to you by the company Improve It. I am the founder of Improve It. And at Improve It, we offer improv-infused talent development designed for the new generation of work. We have worked with companies legit across the globe to bring improv-based learning to their culture. Okay, this isn't like a hard sell. I'm just trying to give you an idea of what we do if you've never listened to this show before. High level, we have high impact workshops that are designed for leadership, team building, and communication. We have keynotes that energize, educate, and inspire. So if you're looking for someone to rev up your next conference and give you tangible outcomes in those keynotes, we are your people. We also have custom experiences that are tailored to help organizations strengthen inclusion, collaboration, and engagement. So we work with two different sides of our business. The first is the workshop and curriculum side. We do long-term engagements with companies over the course of a year to 2 years. We used to be sort of a one-and-done curriculum, and we would work with companies year over year. We've moved away from that because we really are able to see behavioral change with an organization over time. And that for us is so important. We want to go deep. We don't want to be high level, surface level with you, working with you. We want to go deep within your culture and understand your needs and challenges and give you the painkiller to solve them, my friends. So a very good example and one of my proudest case studies that we've ever had here at Improve It is working with American Marketing Association. Now, our amazing client, Kelly Scullin, is no longer with American Marketing Association because she left to create her own coaching practice and is crushing the game. She was actually on this show a while ago, and we will link to that episode in the show notes for you as well. But American Marketing Association really is this just beautiful case study of how improv was infused into a company culture and how that just created a ripple effect in the organization when it came to culture, belonging, inclusion. So we started working with American Marketing Association, I want to say in 2016. And I had known Kelly from my previous career in recruiting, and she asked us to come in and do a series of workshops with American Marketing Association. They loved this fundamental of yes and so much, which I will explain to you in just a moment. They loved it so much that they brought it into their day to day and made it a part of their core values. So yes and means on stage, I hear you. I'm going to say thank you for what that gift that you have just given me, and I'm going to add something to it. So for example, if I'm on stage doing a scene with a scene partner and I go up to my scene partner and I say, oh my gosh, I broke my arm. And my scene partner says, no, you didn't. That's negating me. That is not yes and. That is stopping the scene in the tracks. And as an audience member, you're like, well, where are they going to go now? And as a scene partner, you're like, where are we going to go now? However, if the same interaction took place and yes and was the result, I would go to that scene partner and I'd say, hey, I just broke my arm. And my scene partner would say, yeah, and we got to get you to the hospital immediately. And then we start racing to the hospital in whatever mode of transportation we fancy. Okay. Yes and is a wonderful teaching tool for organizations. So the next time that you're in a meeting, instead of negating someone's idea, which stifles innovation, makes that person not want to share ideas, you can yes and them. A lot of people get confused with yes and because they think this means that I have to agree with everything that's being said, which is absolutely not the case. It actually means, yes, I hear you, and I'm going to add to it. I don't have to agree, but I'm going to acknowledge you for sharing that idea. So let's say I'm Susan in a meeting and I say, hey, I have this great idea for a holiday party. And my boss says, no, Susan, we don't have a budget for that. I, as Susan, am not going to feel super empowered to come up with more ideas or even speak up in the next meeting. However, if I go to that same boss and that boss yes ands me, it would look like this. I would say something like, hey, I have this great idea for a holiday party this year. And my boss would say, oh, you know what? I don't have time to talk about it this month, but I'd love to share some ideas with you and hear your ideas next month. Can you find time on my calendar? There was no, hey, I'm going to take your idea and run. It was just a, hey, thank you for acknowledging and bringing this idea to the table. I'm going to honor you, set some time on my calendar, and we'll talk about it. And as Susan, I'm like, heck yeah, my boss just said, let's go, and wants to hear my ideas, so I'm going to come up with more. That is yes and. So back to the case study. American Marketing Association loved this fundamental so much. And think about what they do. They are a nonprofit, an association that helps companies all over the world, marketing companies, and they get them together at conferences and webinars and different educational events to come together and innovate. If they are not innovating at the top of this game, how in the world can they help these companies? So what they did was they made Yes And little place cards that they put at every single person's computer. They sat there so every single person every single day was reminded to share ideas, innovate, come to the table, not negate. On every conference room door, you can legit see this on every conference room door. It says, remember in this meeting to yes and. So when you walk in, you are hit right in the face with this idea that everyone's ideas matter. Everybody has an idea that they should bring to the table, and no idea is a bad idea. I love this case study so much. And we had an amazing relationship with American Marketing Association for many, many years, still do. We actually shot a lot of our videos that we use in our pre-work of our workshops at American Marketing Association because they redid their entire office to make it a more collaborative, communicative office. So instead of having desks and just siloed little cubicles, they actually have rows where everybody has visibility to everybody else, and it's easy to turn around and bounce an idea off your coworker. It is a beautiful place, and I will tell you that they have retained so much of their talent. They've attracted so much talent, and it has been a joy to see them put Yes And into practice, my friends. We love what we do at Improve It. I'm not trying to hard sell you on Improve It, but I will tell you we have expertise. We have literally worked with over 400 clients. We have done over 848 professional development events. We have danced, and I'll get to that in a minute. We have 848 professional development events, and we have officially coerced over 39,259 professionals to chicken dance. That is a real statistic and one that I am super, super proud of, my friends. So, all of this to say, you don't have to work with Improve It. In fact, you could just take this Yes And exercise, and I'm going to even expand on it. I'm going to Yes And on Yes And here in just a minute, back to your organization, especially if your organization is feeling the push and pull of DEI being removed. So I want you to take an exercise with you today, this Yes And exercise, and I'm going to Yes And it, as I mentioned, because this actually is a even greater tool for inclusion. You can take this activity, do it at the start of a meeting. You can take this activity and just do it at a networking event with your team, or you could do it before you start a meeting just to make sure everyone is on the same page. So it takes the same fundamentals of Yes and takes it even further by removing rank. So here's how the activity works. You'll get your team in a group and you will tell them that they are going to have to come up with food, entertainment, and a location for an upcoming party, okay? And get really celebratory with it. Be like, pew, pew, pew. You know, you're like flying glow sticks, confetti's flying in the air. You get them really excited. And you can even say, hey, there's unlimited budget, wank, 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 just to get them really excited so the ideas come pie in the sky. There's a purpose to this. The caveat here is that everyone in the group is going to start saying yes and to everyone else's ideas, all right? So let that marinate for about 1 to 2 minutes. And what you will find is that the volume of the room is super high. Giggles come out. People are giggling. They are laughing. They are being silly. They are having a good time. And what you're going to do within that couple of minutes is just witness who in that group is really sharing a lot of ideas. And you're going to whisper in that person's ear, instead of saying yes and, you're going to become the yes but person. The yes but person. Okay? Now, what happens is that this person, instead of saying yes and to everybody else's ideas, is going to say yes, but I don't know if we could do that. There's really not an opportunity within the next few weeks. We don't have any time in our calendar. Yes, but I don't like Beyonce. I don't want her to perform at this event. So they're going to start adding a little friction. And what you'll notice is that the volume of the room will die down just a little bit. The tension will start to permeate the room. The energy feels a little bit different. After about a minute or so of this, you are then going to ask a third person in your group to say no because to everyone in the group. So it goes a little something like this. You whisper to that person, hey, I want you to say no to every single idea that everybody comes up with as many times as possible. So let's say you have a group of about six people. You got them all yes standing in round one. Round two, you have one of those six people now yes butting. And now in round three, you have one of those six no because-ing. So you've got four people yes standing, a no because, and a yes but. I'm going to tell you what happens. Spoiler alert. The volume of the room gets much lower. Tension is tight. Okay, you could cut the tension with a small butter knife, okay? With some of that butter spread that is hard to cut, all right? I'm talking about the butter stick, not the can't believe it's not butter in the container. It's hard. So at that point, you're going to stop the activity. And you're going to ask what it felt like when everyone was yes-anting. And what you'll find is that everyone loved yes anding. Everyone was loving their idea of being heard. They were loving the momentum and the innovation and the freedom to share ideas. And when that yes but person came in, it was like no dressed up in a fancy little bow tie. It was still a no because there was a yes but a caveat. And it didn't make the people that were yes anding feel super great. And then that no because just squashed all the fun. It was like a fun vacuum. It sucked up all the air, sucked up all the energy, and you wanted that activity to stop then in that moment. Take that, use that, bring it to your teams. It is so, so interesting to watch and witness, and I have watched this activity probably 1,000 or more times at this point in my life, and every time it's the same. What you find is when you allow all voices to be heard and you create this culture of belonging and inclusion with yes and, people want to contribute. People want to show up. And when that happens, morale improves. When morale improves, so does productivity. When productivity improves, so does the individual and so does the organization. Everyone thrives. Now to yes and the yes and, you can take it a step further with an activity we call inspire, don't perspire. Talk a lot about armpit sweat in our workshops. Just kidding. No, we don't. This is the only one that talks about armpit sweat. However, I love this one because you're going to go back to yes anding. This time everyone's yes anding. There's not a no because. There's not a yes butter. And what you're going to do in this scenario is hand everyone a deck of cards. Now, you're going to strategically place cards in each person's hand. So if you have six people in your group, you're going to give each one of them a card. Hopefully, a couple of them are high rank. So you have a king, a queen, or an ace. Now, actually, ace is the lowest. So a king, a queen, a joker, or a jack, not a joker. A jack, a queen, or a king are your high ranking cards. Ace is the lowest. Everything else falls in between. And you're going to tell the group to resume planning that holiday party. But this time, they can only yes and they can only respond to the person with the highest ranking card. So you're going to make sure that no one sees their card. So when you give them their card, you place the card face down, and I like to have it kind of sandwiched between their hands. And on the count of three, you tell everybody to flip the card up, put it on their forehead, and start yes anding. So if someone is a 10, they're getting asked a lot of questions and they're also responding and yes-anding a lot. Now, if somebody is a 2 or an ace, the lowest ranking, they are not being heard at all. No one is really asking them or listening to their ideas. They're actually being passed over where all of the energy and all of the focus is going to the higher ranking cards. And when I ask people to put their cards down and turn around and take a look at their card, they very quickly already knew once they put the card on their forehead what their card was, just by how people were reacting to them. And I asked the team, what was it like to have everyone respond to the highest ranking person in the room? And a lot of people say, just like a meeting I was in yesterday. So when we remove that rank, when we let all voices be heard, when we allow every voice to have a seat at the table, innovation is so high. Ideas and people thrive. So I want you to take these activities, this yes and then the yes and to the yes and inspire, don't perspire. Take them and bring them back to your teams. This is something we do in a variety of our workshops here at Improve It. And if it's ever something we could provide for your team, we would absolutely love it. I am not hawking my wares here. I really want you to have this material, this education, this activity, some tools in your toolkit to take back to your teams to make the spaces that you are in feel inclusive. Now, if you don't want to use these activities, here are a few more ways to foster more inclusion at work. You can actively listen to your employees, to your team, and create safe spaces for open dialogue. You can create mentorship opportunities that promote diverse leadership growth. You can encourage team building exercises like I taught you today that foster connection and empathy. And you can invest in training that strengthens communication and collaboration, like improv-based learning or play-based learning or experiential-based learning. It doesn't have to be improv, but it is something that is going to help with collaboration and communication. So anything along those lines, I'm telling you, will go wonders for your team. Now, if you wanted to work with Improve It, obviously we can work with you in our workshop setting, in our curriculum, or keynotes. If that's not on the table this year from a budget perspective, I have a book called I See You, A Leader's Guide to Energizing Your Team Through Radical Empathy that is legit $24. And if you don't have $24, I want you to send me an email at info@learntoimproveit.com and I will literally mail you a copy. Okay? I will for real mail you a copy. That is how strongly I feel about it, because at the end of every chapter, I'm giving you activities just like you heard today. And in the book, there's a QR code to a resource guidebook, which is a 64-page PDF that literally has all the activities in the book outlined. It's a fillable PDF, so you can make notes inside of it and you can take it back. There's solo activities and group activities to do with your team. So grab that. And then work with any organization that champions play and inclusion. Just start somewhere. And if you know that this isn't going to be something that your company embraces right now, I want to encourage you just to go to your local improv theater and take a class. They are literally all over the world. So just Google improv training, whatever city that you're in, and go take a class to see what I'm telling you this feels like. You just have this feeling of safety and belonging and inclusion when you are on this stage working with people who have your back, who understand improv. And it is a very magical teaching tool that I would love the entire world to take, because I promise you, if everyone in this world took an improv class, this world would be a very different place. So I wanted to say this was such an important conversation that we had today. I'm so grateful for you tuning in. I truly am. I know you have a variety of options. It's like Southwest. You have a variety of options when you fly, but you literally have a variety of options when you choose to listen to a podcast. And the fact that you're coming here means so much. Your time is so important to you and to me. So I want to make sure that I fill you up with information. And I know if there's one thing we've learned today, it's this, that inclusion is not just a corporate initiative. It is a commitment. It's about creating workplaces where people feel seen, heard, and valued. And I always love to leave you with a challenge. So here's my challenge for you today. How can you bring more radical empathy into your workplace this week? Maybe it's a conversation. Maybe you listen to somebody and recognize something in them and share that with the group. Or maybe it's just taking the time to have a conversation and truly listen to someone's perspective. Whatever that means to you, I want you to start today, not tomorrow, today. And if you loved this episode, I would love for you to keep the conversation going with me. You can connect with me on LinkedIn or Instagram at It's Erin Diehl. And I would love to hear your biggest takeaway from today's show. Don't forget to make your own workday a little more playful. And you know what I'm going to say, keep playing, keep leading, and remember, every workday is a playdate waiting to happen. The world needs that very special it that only you can bring. I'll see you next time.